strategic plan, I'm wondering why there's, I didn't see anything in here that dealt with a plan for the development of the West Side campus. And I was wondering, is that something that you feel should be part of a plan for the university?
Hopefully it should be part.
Well, I'm wondering, if the plan, if it's not part of this plan, who is developing those plans?
That will be added to this plan, sir. And there have been some great effort put forth, and that is something that should have been in this plan.
Any other questions?
Quick questions. So, I just want to get an understanding. So the resolution that's in front of us, that's basically to approve the shell of the strategic plan, knowing that some of the metrics may change, some goals may come off or go on. We're going to add the West Side campus up. This is just to approve the shell of the plan.
Yes.
Which I think we all agree upon. This is fantastic. Is that what you're asking of me today, Dr. Sharp?
So I'm just going to, okay. So we were asking the board to approve the past resolution, whereas the Chicago State University, the university board of trustees, the board has reviewed and examined the 2012-2015 strategic plan, whereas the board has discussed and agrees with the plan. Therefore, be it resolved that the board approves the 2012-2015 strategic plan to guide the university in planning for its future operations and development of its academic program.
Yes.
We're asking for them to approve the shell. We're going to validate it over the next month or two. Should we not bring it back after validation to get the board to approve it then? Because we're going to add things like the West Side and other things once we go to validation, once we add some more, you know, look at baseline. So the change might, the plan might change 10%, 15%.
Yeah, so my next question was, once you do that, is it going to be a material change? You've got to bring it back for us to approve again, or because it'll be an amendment to it. So the question is, do you expect it to be that different of a plan than what we see today?
I honestly do not. I mean, we did get a very good feedback today. We know that those things will be added to the strategic plan and concerns will be addressed. And so I don't anticipate. And the other thing is, we don't want to stall the process.
Yeah, my next question, I know there's some timing issues on it.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so I mean, I've got comfort around that, Mr. President. You know, because to me, all the material basis of the strategic plan, they're not going to change. You're not going to take out one of the C's in access, right? You know, that will be a material change. I mean, if you're saying you're just going to add something or remove, you know, if that's all, it's going to be uncomfortable with that, then, as long as you are.
Then I will communicate to you, as the chairman of the board, all changes, so that the board is at least aware of it. All right? So any changes that are made from what is approved here, I will send to you, and then you...
Yeah, and I would ask until it's completely validated, you just come back in front of us.
Absolutely.
You know, with updates at the next meeting. So I don't know, we need to bring another resolution to the table. I'm comfortable with this one.
Okay.
That is okay,
Mr. President? Yes.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve this resolution?
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Is it properly moved and seconded?
Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.
Nice work. Dr. Brown, Dr. Sharp.
Thank you.
Dr. Muzzi, good to see you. I don't know if you got much to add after all that.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to address the board. I think that actually a fair amount of the discussion that has taken place, particularly with Provost Westbrook's description of the HLC process, I think has helped alert some of the new board members as to what we can expect. But I would just like to talk a little bit about the process that we use to write a report. If I could please ask all HLC steering committee members to stand. And HLC committee members, I just want you to be aware that we have a steering, just a, thank you very much. There are a couple of folks who could not make it to this meeting, but Our steering committee consists of Provost Westbrook's, the deans, faculty members such as myself, and Dr. Mulligan to Dr. Austin and Dr. Portlori. So we've got a good representation from faculty and administration on the steering committee. The steering committee meets weekly on Fridays to discuss issues that are important to the writing of the HLC self-study. The self-study will be a document. The page count is not that big of a deal. It'll be 200 or 250 pages. But the main issue is that the HLC self-study needs to address the five criteria for accreditation. Criterion one is mission and integrity. Criterion two is planning and preparing for the future. Criterion three is teaching and learning. Criterion four is the dissemination and acquisition of knowledge. And criterion five is community service, and that we serve our constituents. Each of those criterion committees needs to write a succinct report with substantial evidence supporting our claim that we meet these criteria. We have been meeting for a year. In fact, it was a blessing in disguise that we had a focus visit report due in 2010, because it was very easy for us to transition then to take the group that was working on that focus visit report, in which we were given a very clean bill of health with regard to enrollment management by the HLC. And they said that we were doing a very good job in responding to their previous concerns about enrollment management. And that group basically morphed into the strategic, the HLC steering committee. And as Provost Westbrook's pointed out, one of the main issues that we have been thinking about since the last time we addressed you was assessment. And we've had two consultants, Dr. Susan Murphy and the other Susan, Dr. Susan Hatfield, who addressed approximately 100 faculty members and chairs and administrators on November 11th. And as a result of that, we are going to convene a meeting this upcoming Wednesday with faculty members, chairs, and assessment coordinators to discuss the outcomes that need to appear in syllabi, making sure that our outcomes for graduate students are at the properly high levels. In other words, we're already taking their concerns and recommendations into account. Some of the basic things we're trying to do is we're making sure that we have an editor and a layout and a design person. We want to make sure that we've taken care of these things now so that we don't have to be scrambling in the summer to make sure that we take care of those nitty-gritty things. But we want to make sure that we have an excellent editor and a layout person. Both of these are our adjunct faculty in the College of Arts and Sciences that have been identified. Data collection is what the self-study is all about. Data collection means making sure that we have the data from internal and sometimes external constituencies to make sure that we know what's going on in the university. As the Susans pointed out, Dr. Hatfield and Dr. Murphy, the last thing you want is for a team member to come and ask you a question that you don't know the answer to because it wasn't in the report and you hadn't thought about it. So we have to look under every rock, and we are. Sometimes looking under a rock, of course, means you have to ask people for things. We've got a lot, and there's more things that we need. See, sometimes it's a question of, you know, the criterion committees are asking tough questions, and we have to go and get the tough answers from the people who have those answers. And so, for instance, this week we'll be meeting with vice presidents to make sure that, you know, we have a good handle on exactly who can answer these particular questions. If you ask for specific data, it's pretty easy to get. But sometimes you have to make sure that the question is posed in the right way. And that's really where we're at right now. We're asking the tough questions that don't have easy answers. So we're a year out. We're 11 and a half months out, 11 months out. So we're at where we're supposed to be. I think one of the consultants pointed out that, you know, we're already in the second draft phase, and they thought that was pretty good in terms of our timeline. But we need to fill in some of the data gaps, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're focusing on for our main focus of our efforts. One of the things we're doing is we're working with students. Students are the hardest folks to get a hold of. I mean, it's pretty easy to go to a faculty meeting. It's pretty easy to get in, but students. So we've decided that we're going to ask students to complete what's called the Noah Levitt Student Satisfaction Inventory. We did this in 2003. What a great opportunity for just a 10-year before-after comparisons, nationally normed. We've already got about 1,000 of these surveys, but I don't think that's enough. I'd like to have about 1,800, 25% of the FTE. So we're going to do a little bit more in the spring, but we've actually, we go to the classrooms okay? We ask the students to fill in on the classrooms. I'm not satisfied with just, well, just have the students do it online. I want to get this data. There's some things you just have to sacrifice class time for, and we're willing to do that for something that's important as this. We're also going to be working on the National Survey of Student Engagement. The No Limits thing is more campus services, but student engagement, how engaged are you with your program? Our next draft is due in early December, and these are being coming in. We're also going to have a mock visit. We found that Dr. Gist recently hosted a mock visit of potential. They would have been NCAPE evaluators, except now that they were on our mock visit team, they couldn't be. But they were potential NCAPE, and they came in August, and just as if they were a visiting team, and they provided the College of Education with a lot of feedback. I saw that, and I said, I want that. So we will be doing that in August. We're going to have, you know, approximately five team members to come in August, and they're going to pretend as if they were a visiting team, and they're going to give us feedback in time for us to make adjustments for our November 12, 13, 14, 2012 visit. I just wanted to alert you to the fact that we will have to have our self-study basically in the can, as they say, 6 to 8 weeks prior to the visit, so mid-September. I would ask you when you're choosing next year's meeting dates to keep that in mind, because we want to keep you informed, and you know, we want to make sure that you have the opportunity to view the documents as they are being developed, including the final draft. So I just wanted you to keep that in mind. If you for instance meet on the day that it's due, we wouldn't be able to do much, but just keep that in mind. If you could, I think you have a June date, but if your September date maybe could be a little bit earlier, it would just be possibly helpful for us to, you see what I'm saying, for us to be able to take your concerns into account when we're submitting the final version. That was one thing that the committee had
talked about. Yeah, I was actually going to ask, you kind of beat me to it, if we could, one, in either the May or the June meeting, the consultants review.
Oh, yeah.
I think it'll be done by the
They should, oh, yeah. They, we're thinking they would probably get something around February. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So and if that's even the case, March would be great.
Yeah.
So we have a March meeting.
Yeah.
But then the other would be if we could just get an update on the mock visit in September meeting.
Indeed. Indeed.
We got a date for that, don't we?
August. That'd be in August.
Sorry.
That'd be in August.
Yeah.
And the board will be part of the mock review.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
In other words, during a mock review, they come to you, they're going to meet with you as though this is an actual, but you will meet them.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's great. Yeah, we'll look for those reviews.
Yes.
And anything from the consultant thus far? Is anything you want to add that you've seen to this point? Is this up to snuff of, you know, reviews you've seen in the past? Just curious if you had any comments.
Yes, you had another consultant working with him on building it, and it was a very good place to start with. I will reiterate to you the same thing I said with them, because this is where the work begins, and the implementation of a pretty plan is where they will see most of their action. I did take into account all of your comments, specifically the one around measures, so I want to talk to you probably offline about that. But these, they're making movements. So right now, we're going to be going back to build an actual project plan so that you understand who the owners are and what those deliverables and those dates are. So that's the next critical step. And we'll be validating those baselines over the next month to ensure that, you know, we know what 10% more means. And so you've got a really good team that actually is doing that, and we're committed to doing that. And we've actually gotten very good feedback from faculty and staff, and we sent this out to their own committee, and we'll be brought in that. So we've done an excellent job to identify those key stakeholders and issues.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, the one thing that Dr. Solomon from VHLC said was it's very, very important that we have our strategic plan in place in time for the visit. And so I'm so pleased that that we have made this progress. And especially criterion two, we'll be able to document the process, what you just saw on the screen there, the process by which the strategic plan was developed. So we're working together.
Thanks.
Okay.
I know you and your colleagues are working very hard. You seem so exhausted every time I see you. So,
well, I have to teach you.
It's just great work. Okay. So I don't know if you hear it enough, but you're hearing it from
Thank
me.
You.
We appreciate it. Any other questions from the trustees? For
great,
Vice President Henderson.
Good morning, trustees, Mr. Chairman, President, faculty and staff. Today, we're going to present, as a part of the enrollment retention and graduation report, we're going to present our recruitment plan. It's actually quite timely, and it was at the request of Trustee Scott. I regret that she's not here to see the presentation. But it's timely as we begin to finalize the strategic plan. So we know that as we go through a strategic plan, we have to have a comprehensive enrollment plan, and then the recruitment plan, the marketing plan, the integrated marketing plan comes out of those plans. So today, I want to introduce Mr. Matt Harris, Director of Admissions. Matt joined us July 2011, and he previously served in positions at Drexel University and DePaul University in admissions. So he brings a wealth of experience to the university. In addition, we have Ms. Sabrina Land, who is our new Director of Marketing and Communications. And Ms. Land previously served at the University of Minnesota, as well as for Discover Card Inc. With that said, I am going to let them start the recruitment plan, and then I'll make some comments afterwards.
We this morning are here to talk a bit in regard to the fulfillment of some of the things that you've heard from my colleagues. The provost spoke to you about some of the recognitions, both state, national, and accolades that this institution receives. It's our responsibility to make sure that that translates into the recruitment system, and that students and our constituents, both in the community, high schools, community colleges, and advocates in the nonprofit sector for education, are aware of some of these things. We are in the process, given some relatively new staff, of assessment, determining how we can, with much more sophistication than what CSU might have used in the past, integrate some new technologies into this plan. We'll start with just a brief overview. You'll see an eight-step or eight-goal recruitment plan in this presentation. They fall under an umbrella of three key points, the first of which is modernization. Enrollment management today has become an extremely business-oriented focus. Second of which is student service. We acknowledge the needs of a student for non-traditional communication, timely response, and service that in some institutions lacks as students go through what's called the university swirl. Where do you go when you have a question that needs to be answered? And then the last point under that umbrella is the relationships that we build, as we talked about in the community. We have gatekeepers, high school counselors, community college counselors, the community at large. Their perceptions of this institution impact the way in which we can recruit. So we'll start with a bit of information in regards to the mission and vision of this institution as an acknowledgement to the HLC Steering Committee. One, because that's upcoming in a very short amount of time. But two, because that vision and mission inform the way that we recruit and some of the things that we do for access to students who may not traditionally have had the opportunity to attend college. But secondly, for diversity. Certainly one of the focuses of this institution is a community servicing institution of higher education. So we'll move forward. If we talk a little bit in regards to the upcoming slide, we segment very much so in admission and recruitment, and identifying the unique needs of these students informs how we can engage them. And the first of which is full-time, first-time freshmen. While not the largest component of the institution's incoming student population, one that's incredibly important for us. Full-time, first-time freshmen are those that are reported to the IBEG. Graduation rates, persistence rates, those things are incredibly important for us in the reputation that this institution maintains in the community. We identify these students, of course, as high school students. Where we will be moving is to engage these students earlier than has been done in the past. By bringing those students and their families on campus in freshman and sophomore year, as opposed to pursuing them in their junior and senior year, we have an opportunity to integrate them into the family of CSU at an earlier age. Transfer non-traditional students, as you've heard today, very large component of our university population. Roughly 20% of national students transition schools. They don't start where they finish. That's where there's some fallacy in that IBHE graduation rate. We have over 50% of our incoming class each year that are non-traditional students, transfer students, adults returning to school. So the opportunity to create, as you heard, articulation agreements, transfer guides for local schools that answer the question for those students, if I go to Chicago State, will my transfer credits come with me? Probably the single biggest question that transfer students have. We are going to do a better job and have instituted some policies to answer that question without a student actually coming into campus to receive counseling through some digital and more sophisticated mechanisms. And then the last population, recently integrated into the office of what is now University Admissions, is graduate students. A population that has not had a true recruitment plan here at CSU in the past, at least in an external recruitment capacity. We are in the process of hiring a graduate recruitment counselor, somebody to engage local businesses, community organizations, nonprofits, to advocate for our programs, working with the deans and program chairs to identify areas that have high need. Where are our programs over-enrolling students? And what programs need help in a recruitment phase to make sure that they're meeting their seat counts. So we're going to get into a bit of our goals. We'll talk a little bit about what it is that we're working on in 2012 to achieve both the quality of the students that we're looking for, the quantity and the composition in regards to demographics. First goal is to assess the existing operations. We spoke a little bit about that. We've taken the course of the last 4 months to identify areas of opportunity and need, to identify our strengths, and how we can leverage those to engage those community partners, students, and advocates that we've identified. Some of those things, modernization of the communication plan, social media, electronic communication, SMS text-based communication. Our students today are more likely to receive communication on their phone than they ever have been in the past. A one-stop model. We are in the process and have just finished integrating graduate undergraduate admission, our intake groups of transfer credit evaluation, and placement testing examinations. Our students need to be in a position where they can make a phone call to the institution and with greater freedom than 9 to 5, have those questions answered. So we're setting up a call center that will be staffed to take incoming calls for areas that have been historical frustrations, admissions, financial aid, the registrar's office, so that we can have staff available to man the phones, if you will, basically from 9 to 7. In addition to that, you'll see goal number two. We're going to, obviously, there's always a battle in recruitment, that battle between quality and quantity. And we believe we can achieve both of those things. As we said before, a community-based organization, we have a responsibility to provide access, and we can do that. What we are going to do a better job of, and through the Dean of First Year Experience, Dr. Cheryl Green, make sure that those students have access to services that allow them an easier transition from high school to college, which we all know is a very different experience. We're going to re-engineer campus tours and the experience that students have here to highlight some of these distinctions that CSU has worked so hard to earn. And then lastly, adjust admission deadlines and criteria. There are national norms that are followed in recruitment. May 1st is traditionally the deadline that students are supposed to let colleges know, are we coming to your institution by that time? This institution has basically had a doors wide open policy. And while we're going to continue that, because our traditional population is a small component of our students, we need to have the access to know who's coming in the fall, what actions we need to take as an institution and as an office to engage those students, make them feel welcomed, and remember that we're a choice for their college experience.
Another key method for us to recruit qualified diverse students is to make sure that we do some target marketing. So we have already begun doing some target marketing by doing SEM, which is search engine marketing, which allows us to actively, proactively target students that are already seeking a degree, an and have Chicago State to pop up as one of the schools of interest, and we're able to track that information when it's sent to us from our third-party vendor, and we follow up by email, phone, and also have a comment from them stating what their interests are. We want to also move forward next year with a purchase of a number of different lists, specifically PSAT, PACT, and ACT and SAT scores, which allows us to target students by geography, by score, and also program of interest, as they do share the information prior to taking those tests. Something that we all should just be aware of, that although with new media today, there are a number of different ways to target students, direct mail and direct marketing is still the most effective, has the best response, and also the highest conversion rate. So although direct mail can be costly, as long as you're strategic about it and make sure that your target, your list is the key, then we can do that effectively next year.
And then lastly, moving back to some of that data orientation and the quantification of what we do, through access to the National Student Clearinghouse, we have an opportunity to see out of those students who had applied or in some way designated interest in Chicago State, who chose to attend. And based upon that, what are the factors that those students have in common? And then conversely, those students who had interest or applied and chose not to attend, where did they go? What does that market share look like, and how can we work to arrest some of the loss that we see in those students? That gives us an idea of what it is that students may be making decisions based upon. And that second level of analysis is one that hasn't occurred here in the past, but one that we've already begun working on for fall of 2012. The third goal that we have falls into that relationship management. As we said, gatekeepers are one of the key constituents that we have as an institution. Providing access to the information of what makes Chicago State unique, the scholarship opportunities that we have, the cost of attendance, placement rates after a student graduates, the research opportunities and small class sizes that we have. If our community college and high school counselors don't have this information at their fingertips, it is difficult for them to advocate for us as an institution. Schools in this area do a very good job of providing that information to counselors, and it's something that we have already initiated a plan, which is basically a package to build a personal relationship with a recruiter that has an assigned territory or group of schools, provide them with pre-publicized information that allows them to see what it is that we would like to present to these high schools and community colleges. Through this, we begin to build a relationship with these schools. Through them, we begin to change some of the perceptions of this institution. We are an institution that provides quality education to students and does so in a capacity that doesn't take $20,000 a year in student loan debt. And we need to advocate for those things in the community as well. Fourth goal, changing the composition of our incoming class, recruit academically qualified students. Transfer students are a huge component of who we are. Our transfer student population actually graduates from Chicago State in a 4 to 6 year capacity, as is the IBHE metric, at and above the same level as other institutions in the state. And that's a really key point for us to acknowledge. Students don't always start where they finish, but those that finish here do so at the same graduation rate as they do across the state. And that testifies to the type of student that we serve. We are going to build a better relationship with the community colleges of Chicago. Certainly we have some great relationships that lead to that end. And then also the South Suburban Community Colleges, Joliet, these areas where we draw students from and really serve as a feeder system for us to degree completion. We've begun that now, and the goals as they pertain to percentage increase and ultimately yield are probably our single most important, because that transfer population is one of our largest.
Also, our fifth goal here is to increase faculty, staff, and alumni involvement in student recruitment. We want to make sure that we can secure a database of faculty that are willing and already passionate about this institution, as well as alumni, that we do have over 30,000 alumni in our database currently, and that is going to continue to grow. But we do have alumni that are willing to participate and help us to proactively recruit students. We also want to make sure that we can implement phone-a-thon, which can be pretty fun and also engaging for not only the prospective students, but us as stakeholders, reminding us of why we took this job to work here, why we teach here, and also as graduates, the alumni, why they went to this institution. Having that and showing that passion and engaging in that conversation with the student over the phone or a parent is very effective. It's been done by other institutions, and we want to plan to implement that next spring or fall.
Goal 6 pertains to diversity. We are one of the few schools, state schools, that has any provision for out-of-state students to receive in-state tuition. That is a competitive advantage that we leverage and are going to continue to pursue. Students coming from Indiana, large markets like Milwaukee, areas that have a diverse student population would like to come to a place like Chicago, which offers greater access to a professional environment, to future work opportunities, to increase our experience and our exposure in those markets through additional recruiting, again, through relationship building, and through advocating our in-state tuition rate for those contiguous state populations. As we do that, we begin to demonstrate out-of-state student population, change the composition, and provide access to students who very closely mirror our Chicago students, but come from different geographic regions.
And by purchasing those lists that we spoke about in Goal 2, this will also allow us to strategically target students that are out of state by program of interest, also after school programs that they are already enrolled in, such as Upward Bound or IDS McKinley, which is a local organization. Other organizations throughout some of the tri-states here, we can focus and target those students from those states as well.
We'll speak a little bit, though, briefly, because obviously IT infrastructure and the implementation of new media, as it tends to be called, is a process that can take some time. However, identifying web enhancement, visual media, we acknowledge the way that students, especially in a evening, in non-traditional capacity, engage in institution. These aren't the early days of higher education where students met with us face-to-face to discuss the institution. We have secret shoppers, if you will. And so our ability to integrate things like a virtual tour, multimedia presentations, student testimonials, into our website for those students that we don't have an opportunity to touch face-to-face gives us access to a recruitment tool that operates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Participating in Common App is one that's really key here. With the advancement of our students today, students want a one-stop shop. And what Common App allows students to do is go on, fill out one application, and by the click of one button, submit the application to a number of different institutions of their choice. There are other institutions within Chicagoland, such as University of Chicago, Northwestern, UIC, that have their applications available online at Common App. And so we want to make sure that we're at the comparable level with our peers. Two, also online. Specifically for any student, but especially graduate students, that's really important that we have an effective website that allows students to put in inquiries online that can get to our office so that we can respond to them effectively as well as quickly. Most graduate students, when they're out shopping, they shop online, they do not even call institutions, they just quickly fill out the application, they already know where they want to go, and so we need to be accessible to them online by having those online inquiry forms. Thirdly, in regards to the YouTube channel, that's something that's already in process with our department. We are working on getting our own channel that will allow us, as Matt said, to upload campus tours, faculty testimonies, student testimonies, spirit days, just having things online to show the campus life of Chicago State will help us to get those out-of-state students. Also, a social media, a CSU social universe. So, it's helpful to have more than one Facebook account or Twitter account on campus through student activities, admissions, and other groups such as relations to engage current students. But if we can make one universe where we all have access to those different accounts to help attract and engage other new students, we can do so. So that can be done. That's been done before by other institutions as well, and that's something that we're going to have by next summer.
And then the last of our three umbrella eight-goal process for the upcoming year is to engage students through orientation process. What students struggle with, in part of the factor that initiates that exodus from a university, which often is within the first semester or two at schools, the students trying to fit in, is for us to better program the transition process that students have. Some of that comes through, as I referenced earlier, the dean of first year experience and the way that they work with students, follow and interact. That comes through tutoring services, bridge programs where students start to spend time on campus in the summer, often through remedial coursework to prepare them for entry into 100 level classes in the fall. We require five touches with students and their advisor, their first freshman transfer advisor throughout the semester. Ambassador programs so that students can connect with existing students on the campus. That goes towards retention for us, which is one of the key initiatives of enrollment management, retention and graduation. For admission, is predominantly responsible with the intake funnel of the institution. How do we generate more inquiries, convert those inquiries into applications, and ultimately into the students that meet our quantitative objectives for student headcount? But we all have a responsibility at this institution to the continuation of those students and their graduation. So through these ambassador programs, transition and bridge programs, we in the admission and enrollment management positions take that responsibility and help those students transition. We've got some additional data at the back, which is full reference pertaining to enrollment, facts, figures, zip code representations, and geography. Those are more for your perusal or if you have questions.
This is great. Comprehensive as they come. I don't have any questions at all. The only suggestion I do have is that you work closely with Trustee Joyce to come up with, we've got to be able to measure this somehow. I mean, great goals, but numbers tell part of the story. We've got to be able to figure out how do we know that Mr. Harrison's accomplishing these eight goals. So I love the goals. Things are laid out well, but you know, coming in as trustees, we've got to figure out how, you know, how do we measure how you're doing your job. So if it's okay with the president, I want you to work with Trustee Joyce on coming up with that.
Indeed we do, and we have facts and figures or quantifiable measures for these. We can include them if there's going to be an addendum to the minutes for today.
It's the right blueprint. It's good. It's real good. Trustee, any other questions?
Just a quick one. Maybe a quick one. You know, competitors, one of the things I was hoping I would see is kind of, you know, in the admission strategy, kind of the competitive assessment, like who are your competitors? Who are you competing with? I think I heard it in some of your comments, but you know, who are the top, you know, five or ten, who or what I should say, would be the biggest source of competition?
No, I wanted to speak to that. Actually, we have a SWOT analysis from the strategic planning process. Now we're working on our market analysis, and so we plan to come back to you with our integrated marketing and communications plan, which is, will be integrated and will come out of the strategic and the admissions plan. So we actually I'd like to introduce, well, you've met Sabrina Lance. We also have Ms. Deborah Douglas, who is our PR and communications person, and we have Ms. Wanda Wright, who is our community relations person. Wanda, please stand. So we have a team who has worked to start doing that competitive analysis and market research so that we can strategically market and recruit as a team.
Right, okay. Because the reason I say, I'm imagining this plan would change very drastically if you did research and found that you were really not competing with, you know, say UIC and some community college, but you're Phoenix and Westwood and Everest.
Yeah, we'll speak to that. There's actually two parts to that question. The first of which is identifying your feeder institutions, which helps us to maintain and strengthen those students that we are bringing in. And that is fairly easy. We have a list of 100 main high schools And then obviously, I listed about a dozen commuter colleges that feed into our institution. And that's an interesting question then to talk about the competitors, because the community college system is one of our competitors. They're both a ally in our transfer student population, but for those students that are cost conscious, they are also a competitor. So the management of that relationship for us is a very important one. Our big competitors, and as I said, that clearinghouse, National Student Clearinghouse, is really the only place that truly tells us where students are going. We do conduct surveys of students, both after their campus visits, those that attend and those that choose not to attend. The response rates on those, though, are small. They can't escape the national database and warehousing system. So that tells us where our students go. Transfer students, by and large, Governor State, we know to be one of our competitors. Schools like St. Xavier, UIC is probably our single biggest in the Chicagoland area. So as we begin to plan both recruitment activities, communication activities, we acknowledge those institutions. And that's the last part is through that clearinghouse research, who really are the 5 or 10 big competitors. As we look to take market share from those institutions, how do we do that?
I also wanted to add that 97% of our students are in-state. And we do have a zip code analysis that we can share with the trustees. But our top 5 zip codes currently for fall 2011 are 60628, 60620, 60619, 17, and 49. So they are around the university area.
Trustee Anderson.
Yes, again, I echo this was, a very competent plan. And one thing I just want to say is, with the metrics as far as it's built on our iPads, which we are currently under, I know Ms. Henderson is aware of that, performance funding soon to be rolled out metrics and how that will change. So we will be credited for a lot of our transfer students as we currently do not get credited for. So I just want to make that be aware of that.
I appreciate that. And then also to the chairman's comment on metrics and how we will be measured, we rolled up a lot of our metrics into the strategic plan. So we work together to ensure that you'll have that enrollment, retention, graduation, those metrics. We'll follow those metrics in the recruitment plan, but we'll also add some metrics on how we measure our admissions process or this recruitment plan.
That's great. Thanks, Mr. Harris. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
At this time, I'll entertain any public or employee comments. If there are none, is there a motion to adjourn? Is there a second?
A second.
Trustee Brazier?
Yes.
Trustee Joyce?
Yes.
Trustee Stanley?
Yes.
Trustee Young?
Yes.
Trustee Anderson?
Yes.